Hey gang, are you in a band in Austin and you're looking to make the leap from the band of schmoes to the band of pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin with 31 spacious rooms and wide gallery-lit corridors. They have the space for you to get your creative endeavors underway. Find them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Take the talent train from Schmoesville to Protown with Space.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. We're in the middle of South by Southwest here in Austin, and I'm recording this on the Thursday of South by Southwest, and I just got back from doing a live podcast at the Tune In South by Southwest podcast stage at the JW Marriott in the Brazos Room with Aaron Behrens and Jonas Wilson from the great band The Midnight Stroll. Look for that show coming out on Tuesday. What a great conversation we had. This has been a great festival. Now I've got a badge too, so I'm unstoppable. They cannot stop me from doing anything today. They can't stop me. I'm gonna do stuff. I'm gonna finish up doing this intro to this podcast and get it ready to be posted. And I'm gonna go do stuff that's gonna blow your mind. I'm gonna post pictures. You're never gonna believe this. We were walking out of the Marriott there and saying goodbye. Me and Jonas and Aaron. You know, hey, great show. Great to see you guys. Maybe we'll run into each other later today. And all of a sudden, Aaron goes, oh my God, that's Mick Fleetwood. And Jonas and I are like, oh shit. And so we walked over there and said hi to him. I made him laugh a couple times, told him he owed me $20. I don't know why I said that, but I thought that would be a funny thing to say to a very rich man. Anyway, it was great to meet him. He was very nice. He was very cordial. We did not take a picture because I think both of us were so nervous and we were just thanking him for his contribution to music and being Mick Fleetwood. He's fucking tall, man. He is really tall. Anyway, South by Southwest has been insane. It seems like it gets more insane every year. You know what I mean? It's been crazy. Anyway, I've gotten to see a lot of music, and I've gotten to do some podcasts. Some of them got canceled because of this weather thing that happened earlier this week where all these flights were canceled from up north, from New York and from Chicago. I've actually, some got postponed to later. Some got totally moved out of the way, and I'm not going to be able to do them. So that's pretty sad. But I did get to sit down with today's guest, Taylor. She was on the show before. She's a South African artist, and she came in with her producer slash my old friend, Zach Loy, who is now the guitar player in the band Live. And so Taylor from South Africa came in. We booked this a while back, and it was great. She came in with Zach. We sat down. We talked about the record that they made last time she was in Austin. The album's called Trust Part 1. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, all the places you find music, and you can go to thisistaylor.com to find out more about Taylor. We have a fantastic conversation, the three of us. We talk about their musical collaborations, all kinds of weird, awkward things that are fun to talk about. Just a great thing. It's great to watch. I've known Zach since he was a very young guy, and I've gotten to watch him grow up and become a great musician, and now a guy that runs sessions and makes records and is in charge of these records. I'm Zach Loy. I make these records. It's great to do that. Great to talk to Taylor again. I talked to her last year when she was here making the record, and we had a great conversation then, and we have a great conversation again today. Then after we had this conversation, Taylor and I took off and went on a boat ride, and we saw bands play. It was absolutely fantastic, man. It was a boat, like South by Southwest is awesome like that. Like they have tons of shows and they have cool shit going on. Like you can go on this pontoon boat, a party boat, tons of people, free drinks, a band playing on the top deck. Actually the most beautiful day in Austin I've experienced in like a year and a half. Okay. It was 65 degrees, sunny and just beautiful. And we're riding on the lake, watching these bands. What a great thing. I want to thank my friend Christian for having us do that. Got to see my cousin Emily, my friend Sandy. It was a great time. Great time. And Taylor and I had a great time running around. She is playing tonight. She's doing her South by Southwest showcase. If you're here for South by Southwest, she's playing tonight, March 17th, Friday, March 17th, at the Rooftop at 9 p.m. And she's playing tomorrow, Saturday, March 18th, at Parlor and Yard at 3 p.m. And also tomorrow, Saturday, March 18th, at 5:30 p.m. at the Texas Rock Fest at 7th and Neches. All right? We have a great conversation. Stick around. It's going to be great. Before we get to this conversation, let me tell you one more thing that's going on with me. I am playing tomorrow night, Saturday, March 18th, in Houston at the Heights Theater. I will be opening for the Bodines and also playing with the Bodines. So come on out and check that out. Go to the Heights Theater. Find it on Google. I'll post a link to it on our How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Don't forget to like it. All right, let's get to my conversation with Taylor and Zach Loy. Don't forget to pick up their beautiful album that they made together, Trust Part 1. It features a lot of my good friends on there as well, Matt Nevesky, Anar, and tons of other people. Find her at thisistaylor.com, all right? Whatever you're doing right now, if you're running on the trail, if you're driving to work, if you're driving home, if you're walking around South by Southwest, if you're going to sleep from a hard night of South by Southwest, thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope that you have a great conference. I will be back Tuesday with The Midnight Stroll, Aaron Behrens and Jonas Wilson from a conversation I just recorded today. Have a great, great day and a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Enjoy my conversation with Taylor and Zach Loy right now. Let's get down.
This room is getting smaller, melting into the paint. I try to work my way out of it, but the roof comes tumbling down again. Just when I think I'm over it, just when I think I'm over it, just when I think I'm over it.
All right.
I want to let you know that we are recording. And you've brought with you a friend who is also my friend, Zach Loy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, Johnny.
Yeah.
Taylor.
Johnny, Taylor.
Just a pleasure.
Just a pleasure. Taylor, welcome back to America.
Yeah, so good to be back.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're going to be coming here all the time now? And
yeah,
Austin
totally.
Is a new home for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was telling Zach earlier, is that I think I'm appreciating things a whole lot more right now because nothing is... The first time I came here, everything felt so brand new. Like, I was very much tourist vibes. And this time around, it's more familiar and I am soaking it all in a bit more.
Yeah.
I'm not nervous anymore. I think I was very nervous the first time I was here.
Right,
because I needed
right.
to make an album, which we then did do.
Yeah.
But... My head was, I was working, you know, and
yeah.
this time around it feels less like work.
Have you settled on a taco place yet?
Yes.
Okay.
What is that place called that we went to one of the last nights?
Oh,
That's important. Like once you've been here like twice, you've spent 2 weeks here, you got to have like a place.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite places right now, the Mexican.
Okay. Well, think about that for a little while.
Gueros.
Yeah.
Gueros.
That's a great place. I'm going to go there later today.
Are you?
You are?
Yeah. My friend Frenchie is having a showcase.
What time?
Like from now until 9.
Oh, beautiful.
Or something.
Okay. Well, I might join you there.
Yeah.
Frenchie, the promoter.
No, Frenchie Smith, the producer, Chris Frenchie Smith.
Oh, okay.
You know, he makes albums.
Yeah, yeah.
He's great. Hey, so you guys made a great album, Trust Part 1.
Yeah.
And also, I do have to say, great job, man.
Oh,
seriously,
thank you very much.
That's, you know, when you've known someone since they were like, I hate to be like that, but when you've known someone so long, you see them grown as a musician,
yeah.
and you've seen them become a great player, and then you see this whole other side of them, like, wow, he had this session in control. Or at least it sounds like it when it came out.
It's all faking, you know. That's what you learn over all these years. You learn how to fake it
you
really
fake,
well.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you find yourself in the studio? This is weird. There's a guy that we know named Mark Hallman who had a profound influence on both of us when we were young. Mm-hmm. And so he was the guy that sent us to that manager guy.
All right.
Yeah. Did you find yourself saying anything and then go like, I sound like Mark?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, over
in
the
a good
years,
way.
Yeah,
yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you definitely, I feel like you absorb mostly the good, and people that you've worked with, at least you would hope. There was a lot of good with Mark Hallman, of course. And, Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I think I learned a lot from him in the early days, yeah. And it stuck with me over all the years, yeah.
Yeah, you hear the voices of the guys that you worked with throughout your time,
yeah, absolutely.
When you're doing that stuff.
Especially in your early years, and you're so influenced by
right.
what they're doing with your music creatively, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, for sure.
Well, this is great to talk about because you guys met when you were touring with Ed Kowalczyk.
Yeah.
And you, Taylor, were opening, or were you singing a song with them? I know you were doing a tune with them on the tour.
Yeah.
But you were also opening?
No, I did the track called Angels on a Razor.
Right.
So I was pretty lucky to join Ed on his stints in South Africa. And we played about, what, two Joburg shows? Was it two Joburg shows?
Yeah.
And two Cape Town?
Yeah, four shows.
Yeah.
Two weeks, big town.
And I mean, that was great. And I'm quite a spiritual person. So I think off the bat when I met Zach, I knew that I almost have met him before. Like there was some weird connection there. And I told you this last time, I didn't know he could produce anything, to be honest. I didn't know his background. I didn't know his history. And from day one, when we got into studio, it was just pure magic. And right. It was so natural. Nothing had to be forced. If anything, I felt he was the one that was just so organized. I don't know if you were faking it.
No, I would say I was fairly organized.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt like I was the gullible musician, you know, let's have fun and get drunk every third night in studio, you know, which I tried and which was a disaster. But yeah.
Did you really try that?
I tried that too. I recall one night where I was drinking wine because I thought I could possibly do the best vocal take ever being drunk, which is... just doesn't happen.
That one didn't work. We did use a track.
Yeah. I don't want to say that I mean, you can probably get to those places where you need to be without it, but there are some classic tracks.
I wanted to try it, you know. But what I was hearing in my head wasn't what was coming out.
Yeah.
When you're
that's
tipsy.
The problem when you're drunk.
Yeah.
We did use one track that you sang when you were a little tipsy.
Yeah.
That was released, yeah. So. Yeah. But that was only one made it.
Yeah.
One word?
One
line?
One vocal take.
Well, here's what I found that I thought was absolutely beautiful is that it was a lot more sparse than I thought, and you guys used the dynamic of a full band, like, kicking in. Mm. With restraint, and yeah. So it has so much impact when it happens.
Well,
you
thanks.
Know?
That was the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The goal was to be minimalistic with the production because of the songwriting and the voice, and really trying to focus in on that, but also attempt to give the listener ear candy and, you know, still impact them emotionally on certain bigger parts of the tunes or whatever, but without being too... I definitely didn't want to overproduce it in a pop sense, you know.
Right. Yeah. You definitely left. I mean, there's just piano and vocal tracks
yeah.
on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
and then one that ends with just a vocal, and it's just such a beautiful recording.
Yeah.
How did you guys? I mean, did you guys? How did you know? And maybe this is just my fascination with you. But, like, how did you know, like, when you, like, oh, I don't, like, how did you know what mic sounded good? Did you try a bunch out, or did you?
No, we didn't try a bunch out.
You just used the force?
Yeah, we used a couple. I think, from what I recall, I described the type of effect I wanted from her voice.
Yeah.
And, I asked the suggestion of the engineer what mic he thought would work great
right.
for that. Yeah, in that studio, you know, because I feel like, when you're going into somebody's studio or whatever, that person knows their space the best, and
yeah.
you know they know what mics sound the best, even though you might think that you do as a producer, and yeah, sure you do know what sounds good and things like that, but I feel like this every space has a little bit different dynamic sonically, so. You know,
right.
Yeah, anyway, he picked out a great mic. Yeah.
Well, about 86% of being a producer is knowing when to go defer to
yeah.
the engineer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
In a good way.
Yeah.
So also, you were talking about trying to get emotion out. There's a lot of emotion on this record. Is it what? Is it focused on one?
Is it focused on one?
One person?
No. some of the tracks I wrote just before I came to Austin.
Okay.
And that was really important for me. I wanted to show up and not prolong things by going, well, this track's not finished or this one still needs work. I wanted to go in with almost a full product, which ended up happening about 50% of, because I just ended up writing a lot of new tracks in studio. I mean, Trust was written in studio. For You was written with Jeff and I.
Trust is my favorite song on the
album. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the one I kept going back to see what the name of it was.
That track was actually, it was Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff was fooling around on the acoustic guitar, but he was always like tuning it and like, the way he was plucking the strings, I was literally lying on the couch and I was like, wait, what is that? And he's like, I don't know, I'm just fooling around. And then it just started flowing. And I think that was like the second last day that we were in Orb. Or maybe even like the last day, because we was like, oh my gosh, like Trust is such a strong track. It needs to be on the record, but we're almost done in studio. Like, and that was one of the last tracks we like tackled.
Yeah. Well, so that they were playing that tune and I just said, it's like, okay, well, let's just record it like that. Get a click and just record it.
Yeah.
So I left Orb with just a vocal track and, Jeff kind of strumming on this little, doing this little picking part on the acoustic guitar, and I went back to New Orleans and finished it in my project studio down there. I finished the production later, like a week later, after the fact. Yeah, so all the stuff that, you know, all the extra sounds and all that kind of stuff, and Tim Palmer mixed it. They mixed that tune, and he did an incredible job.
He does an incredible job.
Oh, yeah.
He really does.
He's just a genius. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I never know if it's him, because he does such different kind of work.
Yeah, he doesn't have it.
He has
like
a different approach.
He doesn't like, oh, that's Tim doing it. You know, he
she doesn't sound like Ozzy.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, or Pearl Jam.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think one thing that you were so good at, Zach, is like whatever Zach set out to achieve, we achieved it. There was no, like, I never felt after the record came out that I was like, oh, we should have pushed this more, we should have held back there. Every dynamic that you hear on this record is exactly how I heard it in my head, and he just so beautifully executed it.
Good.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's another goal.
He's gonna walk out of the room with like the biggest head.
Yeah, well, you know.
No, but I never told you that. Like, I feel like that's something you're really great at, but you're great at that in everyday life as well. Like, just whatever he sets out to do, he does it. So
when I've been working with artists, I feel like that's one thing that I didn't get from producers throughout my life. I felt like most of the time when I was working with producers, it was like, listen, I'm the producer. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Like,
right,
this, right. I know how to make your record great.
Right.
And even though you're like, no, I think I know better.
Right.
You kind of just you hire this producer to produce your record, so in the end you just have to kind of go along with it and let, you know, let the producer do his thing, and hopefully it turns out great. Whereas like I approach it a little bit like, well, it's like, hey, well, what is your vision for this record? Like, what do you want it to sound like? Let's try to capture that, so you're emotionally connected and, you know, and willing to like sell this, you know, as an artist, you know.
I wonder if that comes from if your approach comes from being, you know what I mean? If you're breaking the
absolutely, I think it does. I mean,
you're breaking the cycle of abuse.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I mean, it definitely comes from being an artist myself and being in bands my whole life and stuff. It's just I always felt like, it's like, man, if they would have, same thing like you were saying, like at the end of the, you get your record back, it's like, man, I wish we could have done this or that or whatever, you know.
Right,
it was always like that, you know. And
and having lost arguments to someone who doesn't have to go on with the record.
Yeah.
They're done. They're on, they're making another record.
Totally. When they're done with it, they move on to the next one. I feel like you get emotionally disconnected if your producer is just like, listen, like,
right.
And you end up listening to them just because they've had so much success. You know, you're working with a really successful musician, producer. You know, he's like, well, this guy must know better than me.
Well, here's a question, because I've known you for a long time, and I've never known you to be anything other than this disposition. Mm. You know, I've never seen you like kicking shit and like, oh, yeah. Fucking what? Which I'm sure there could have been times of you'd see you in the alley behind the Lucky Lounge or something.
None of that.
Yeah. How did you guys... And Taylor, I only know you from spending an hour with you last time, but it was a very intimate hour.
It was. That sounds wrong.
It does sound wrong, but people that know me would know it wasn't sexual, because I would have said, we spent an intimate 2.5 minutes, didn't we? So we spent an intimate hour talking, and you seem like you could have some fire in you. Maybe you can be angry if you need to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so I think it's something I can easily tap into if I needed to go there.
How did you guys settle disputes, conflict? Wow. When conflict arose, how was that handled?
Because
I'm sure you gotta have some kind of thing where you lay down the law at some point. You're not a pushover,
right?
You're a nice guy, but you're not a pushover.
I feel like I've learned also. Working with so many musicians and working with so many producers and different people in the industry for such a long time. And the fact is that, like, this is a business, but at the end of the day, it's the most emotional business that you can be in. Yeah. So everybody's like, you know, like, and as a producer, you kind of have to disconnect yourself from the emotional side of it a little bit in order to be the mediator and just, you know, it's like, and kind of like, you know, kind of like the psychology behind it, and just be like, hey, you know, well, you know, like, your idea is great, but why don't we, you know, try this a little bit. And so
I never felt though like that I was put in a box that I couldn't get out of. No. Right.
You never had to get to an argument point.
No.
Okay.
Never.
Now, go ahead. Sorry.
No,
I apologize.
Sorry. If anything, I think because the way that Zach handled this record, it created a safe space for me to be super vulnerable. And there, I mean, I recall a day that I was ugly crying. And I can't remember what track it was, but it clearly unlocked something that I just wasn't even aware of, that it was that big in me. I think you definitely created that space to just be my true self, my true artist, from the get-go.
Yeah. I bet in your situation, have you had producers that have been like he was talking about? Like, they're going to lay their trip on you.
Oh, yeah.
And they know what's best
for
you.
And funny enough, I would just, like, kill the project or whatever I was busy with at the time, as I would just not... You know, I'd either work with them like once off and just they would never hear of me again. But, I felt like it was bizarre because it could have, this is the thing though, it could have easily, excuse my French, fucked out. It could have easily, you know, I could have flew to Austin and then.
Yeah, that's, I was just
and
thinking
then,
that.
And then, and I.
I was just
so
thinking.
So funny
like,
enough, I had this thought like a night before I left. I was like, what if you get to Austin and this Zach Loy guy is terrible, you know? And it just wasn't
You
the
get
case.
Here and he's like smoking crack in the bathroom and he's just got like these shit-ass musicians with like a dude just brings a snare drum and he's all like speed freaked out.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, does that have anything to do with the name of the album?
Trust?
Yeah, that you just kind of like threw caution to the wind and went to another continent and put your faith in the hands or put your life and career in the hands of this guy?
Yeah. Yeah, that is exactly where the name was born from.
Why is it part one then? You guys are gonna. There's another album.
There's definitely another eight songs. Part two. Yeah, I wanted a concept album. I like the idea of telling the story. Season one and season two. The thing is though that the tracks I'm writing right now has got nothing to do with the people I wrote the tracks about on the first record, which...
So it's multiple people on the first record?
Oh, yeah.
There's some sad shit going on. You're working out some stuff.
Yeah.
Inside.
I mean, the last time I was here was in a very different space when I saw you. My gosh.
Yeah, you
my
were
brain
like
was
a baseball
very
hat
funky.
And like a sweatshirt.
Right?
You're like a
tomboy. No, but this is the funny thing. I got dressed this morning, and that is exactly what I thought. I was like, I was a completely different person the last time I was here.
Yeah, you came in
and
like a rock
star. And it's only like a year, but... I think I've just made some really good and manifestation choices in the last year. Better choices, let's put it that way.
And?
No,
you
want to
expound on those choices?
I don't know. Do you have questions for me about it?
Okay, what kind of choices? Like relationship choices. Are you in a relationship?
No, okay, but I'm happy.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, yeah. I think for like, for the first time in my life, I think I'm putting myself first. And I think you can hear that on the record. You can hear like...
There is an empowerment vibe. Yeah.
Definitely. So yeah, in terms of that, I'm in a really good space, and I've got some really, this year alone is just a really good indication of, you know, what I believe you like manifest your thoughts on, that grows and that expands. And that is exactly where I am right now, is just trying to, whatever thought I have, I make sure that it is, and you know, I'm a human being and I mess up and I sometimes go into a very negative space by choice, you know, but I think this year specifically has been about just manifesting good and positive decisions for me, you know,
healthy
and putting myself first. Yeah. Yeah.
What does dark places look like? Do you have depression issues?
Good songs are in my dark places.
What about good songs? I mean, I guess I have to be in either of a manic state, I think, unless I'm just in such a good flow of writing that no matter what mood I'm in, I feel like I either have to be like so happy that I'm going to float.
Can you write when you're happy?
That happy, yeah. It's really? Almost like a manic state. It's the same kind of thing. It's almost like
euphoria?
A euphoria. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like getting high or like going running or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you get back and you're like, you know.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know.
So my dark places, they're songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't easily... This is the thing. And this is what I could totally pride myself on. Is I don't let heavy situations carry me down. I've never been like that. I just cut off and I'd put a wall up and I'd move on, you know? And yeah, so I must say that songs are my thing. I go into songwriting when I get sad about something.
Right.
Yeah. And then I process it and then I move on.
It's funny though, but then don't you feel like, do you feel like when you write something, you sound like a cheese ball? Like when you write something happy, when you're like, I'm gonna...
I can't write when I'm happy.
Just not at all.
No. Not at all.
It's funny because this whole art thing is like that. It's like that.
I sounded really stupid there, right?
No, you didn't. Everyone's like that. Everyone's like that. There are some people, and then, I mean, like, what if you're like, I'm trying to think of somebody like Jack Johnson. Like, if that's what you do when you're happy, then I'm gonna go be a fucking banker.
Smoke weed and surf.
We'll just write songs that reflect a guy that just smokes weed and surfs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking about this photo that how in rock and roll, I'm pointing out a photo of my own band behind these guys and we all look sullen and like the fucking end of the world, right? And so earlier that day in those photos, our drummer Bill Leffler made an exclamation because Jimmy, our guitar player, turned to him and said, "Hey man, stop smiling."
Oh,
and he was like, no. I'm tired of this rock and roll, stupid, serious face look thing. I'm going to smile. And then the photographer, Danny Clinch, goes like, "Hey, Bill, man, could you not smile?" He goes, no. This is my thing. And then he goes like, "Okay, that's cool." He brings over a Polaroid and he goes, "Well, this is what it looks like." And it's like, and he was like, he went back to that face.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but I've always thought about that when I think, I'm like, why did Van Gogh cut off his ear? Why do these guys kill themselves? Why is it always so fucking like, why is the most depressed? Why is Robin Williams the guy that's the funniest guy in the world? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there are a few exceptions. There are people like Will Ferrell who has no problems and is hilarious. But otherwise, and same with musicians. There's probably a couple guys out there that are totally normal and great. Like maybe Paul McCartney is normal. And he's great.
Yeah.
But like he's had a hard life too. He's had some, personally.
Right, of course.
Yeah. So... But yeah, he seems fine. It's weird. I mean,
well adjusted is what I mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely an interesting question.
Because like after shows, then people come to me and like, they go, "Oh my gosh, you're so nice." And I think, wow, it's interesting how people perceive you, like how the public they would expect you to, I don't know, talk in a demon voice and, you know, welcome to my show.
What they're getting yeah. from you on those records,
yeah,
though,
exactly.
is your darkness.
But meantime, mm-hmm. I'm actually quite a bubbly. I would like to think that I'm quite friendly. Right?
Yeah, you're very friendly.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, you're friendly. You're outgoing. You're very fun to talk to.
Exactly.
I guess.
I mean, I'm a Gemini, so I've always felt like that kind of played into like my social person is one side, and then my music or stage person is another person.
Do you have a persona name?
I don't have two names or anything.
You don't.
I should though. I should start that. It's never too late.
It's never too late.
but yeah, you know, I think that might be a little bit of what we're talking about. You know, it's like okay, well, this music person in me that is like taking over and like is creating this song, because mm-hmm. I mean a lot of songwriters will say that too. It's like yeah, this song that's so great that I wrote, this is the best song I ever wrote, but I felt like I was disconnected from myself when I was writing it,
or when it was written. Yeah.
It was just like all of a sudden it was finished and there it was, you know, and I had this song all of a sudden. It was like a gift. And
well, that's the thing too, is like you write those songs and then obviously you write those songs that you feel like, okay, this is the best song I ever wrote, and then you go back to write a song, you're like, how did I do that? I'm just gonna do it. But you can't, and you're like, how the fuck did I do that?
Yeah. I've had moments like that where
I just smoke weed and go surfing. and then come home and work it out.
I think especially I had exactly that thought after I wrote Wolf. I was like, how am I ever gonna tap into that part of my brain again?
Yeah.
And there were moments where I tapped into it again, but it wasn't the same.
Is that the song that was on the TV show?
Yeah.
So You Think You Can Dance?
Yeah.
I heard that song again today.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. It's a really good song.
Thank you.
You know what I noticed about this album that compared to your other stuff? When it was all playing, I would stop and I'd go look, and it was a song from another time. You have matured.
In what sense, though?
And your sound on this record is
it's definitely a bigger sound.
It's still pop, but it sounds more I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a sound, your voice, your delivery sounds more mature.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you can't tell it's you. But you know what I mean? When you're listening to someone and you're really listening, you're going, Oh, she's, you know, she seems like she's
I think especially trust.
She's progressed.
Trust is like, in terms of vocal style, is completely something I haven't done before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a confidence to the record that isn't there before. I feel like sometimes like this immaturity and the angst is such a great time when you capture that in your career. It's like so incredible. But then also as you grow and you should be getting more confident and more comfortable and, you know, you've been through it so many times before, you're kind of like, you know, you're able to deliver a little bit different of a performance and definitely a more mature performance.
Yeah, maybe you were even more empowered in this. I mean, I don't know what the other producers.
First of all, the first day we went into pre-production with the band, the energy in the room is something I've never experienced before. There was no room for apologies. There was no room to, if I messed up, I felt inadequate in a way. You know, the energy spoke so much to my true self as a musician that I just embodied that confidence, you know, from the get-go. Am I making sense? You know, like, I just feel the musicians I worked with are so confident and they so know who they are as musicians that like projected onto me.
Right.
And I just feed it off of that.
Yeah.
And that's because of that energy and because of that inspiration. That's how one of the tracks on the album called For You was written. Because that track was actually worked on during pre-production. And I remember just feeling so confident, I guess that's what you can call it, that it just flowed out of me without overthinking things.
Yeah.
With the first record, it was pure vulnerability. Pure vulnerability. There wasn't a moment of being confident to the point of this record, you know? Like, I just, I mean, it's. I think it's my best work ever, but I think every musician says that about their latest work, but till the next record,
well, you know what?
This is.
You finished this record a year ago, and you've had enough time to decide that it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it probably is.
Yeah.
I mean, I
Absolutely.
Think it is.
Absolutely.
And, I mean.
Yeah.
And, you know, that confidence speaks a lot to you, probably. You know?
Yeah, well,
and your ability to empower someone.
And it's also, I mean, that whole the whole thing of putting the right band together and musicians together, because I mean, the old, it's like you're only as good as your weakest link. So, you know, it's like if you have a room full of, you know, completely incredible musicians that are extremely confident, you know, there's no room for like insecurity, you know. It's just like,
no, exactly.
Like, hey, we're doing this, and
yeah.
this is, and it's all super relaxed and chill mm. and fun, and everybody's like, you know, on the same page. So that helps out a ton.
Yeah.
I feel like when you're in the studio, yeah, definitely.
There's something also about like that thing, and I think we talked about it last time. Like David Bowie would get people on his records, and I was reading an interview not a long time ago, but right after he died, just basically like, oh, was he like a real taskmaster? Did he like mm. ride your shit? And they're like, no. When he got you to play on his record, he was getting you mm. because he likes you and he trusts you to do your thing on his. That's why you're there.
Totally.
So what do you do when you play this song? And that's it. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
and
what that, I experienced that has with Anor.
Yeah. Me too.
It's like, you just let him do his
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, I let, when A&R came in, I was like, hey man, just, you know, be as wild and weird and
yeah.
just be yourself, you know, as you want to be. Yeah, and it turned out great. Some great stuff came out of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. He really, you know, that's funny because, I mean, I've experienced so much of that with him. Like, hey, can you, like, he made my songs always so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
It's interesting how just one instrument can do that. It's really, that's mm-hmm. another process that is so, so fun when you're in the studio. It's just like having somebody come in and just the way they execute it and the way they feel it from their own personal self I mean, obviously it can ruin the song too, but if you know who you're working
you
with
trust.
And you, yeah, and you trust the guy and you get the right musicians that you feel like will be right for those tunes, then yeah, most of the time it's like wow, that I never, you know, when talking about bass, that groove just never was like something that I thought about before.
Yeah.
This is like really
what
really
songs
incredible.
Did he play on?
He played on Trust.
Okay.
He played on gosh.
Didn't he play on that's some of the tracks that didn't make the record?
He played on a few that weren't on. That's not on this.
He probably yeah. ruined those songs, but it's nice to be.
Oh,
guys
he played on Run. He did play on Run. He yeah. that was the one song that he completely like changed the groove of.
Oh yeah.
That song Run on that one, yeah. And it was just like, wow, dude, this is super rad.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple other tunes. He played on about half of the tunes that we recorded.
Who is he playing with you live?
No.
We're getting a. Pat Smear from he played bass in Flyleaf, that band Flyleaf. That
wait, not Pat Smear from
no
Foo Fighters.
No, different. Yeah,
well, Flyleaf. That's a band I know. Their
yeah,
name.
Yeah,
yeah.
They were pretty big rock band from Belton, Texas that had a big deal, and they sold
right.
sold a couple million records, you know. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, man. That chick had the maddest vocals.
There was a girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, a girl singer. They're no longer around. I think they
that's a terrible name, dude.
The singer.
There's like two words that I just don't want to hear in music.
They were called
Flies
Passer
or Leaves.
Passerby before.
That's a lot better. It
and,
makes more sense.
When they got signed, they changed their name to Flyleaf.
Who let that happen? What label was
you
that?
You know, I never asked.
That guy's got to not have a job anymore.
It was the same label that Maroon
that's how you
5
lose.
Was on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't remember what the label
oh,
is
Oh, there
called.
We go. There's the answer.
What are you listening to, Taylor?
Sure. Wait, that's a big question. Let me answer that in the correct way and not miss out on anything. I'm listening to a chick called Maggie Rogers.
Okay.
She's
what is
great.
Her thing?
I don't know. I don't know what style this is.
That's good. I like that. I like that.
It's like dance. I'm coming
up slowly. Here, back it up just a little bit. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
What style is this?
It sounds like music. Yeah. I don't know. I have a hard time classifying
right?
music.
Me too.
Sonically, it's real. It's got that house sonically.
Yeah, exactly.
House.
That house music, but it's a. But I love that. I mean, that's.
Do what about you? What are you listening to? Anything?
The last record that I bought was by a band called, or an artist. I'm not sure if it's a band or just an artist, whatever it is. It's called the Japanese House.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It's super
already.
Cool. Yeah, it's super cool. Yeah, it's this young girl. I think they're from the UK. It's kind of ambient, but really emotional. The beats are cool. Yeah, so
I like ambient and emotional.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, wait a minute.
This?
Look at you.
Yeah, yeah.
I should come
Spotify.
On.
Is that what you're using?
iTunes.
So, do you feel like sometimes like, hey, but like. I don't ever want to sound old, but you're like that's a different sound than from when we were doing stuff with them. Like, it's such a different sound. Like, such a different approach. Like, no one's in a room anymore with a bunch of dudes yelling at each other.
Yeah. No, and it's one of the things...
It's weird.
It's one of the things that I've kind of, like, really, like, tried... And not that I've had to try hard to do it, but it's... You know, I've known so many people that kind of get stuck in a place. You know, you kind of like because and it's understandable just because
I don't want to get stuck in a place.
No, but I still relate to the music that I grew up with more. Like so, when I listen to those records, like they affect me emotionally more than like you know some of the newer stuff. Although I can get emotionally connected to the newer stuff, but I don't want to be stuck in a place, you know, to where it's like,
get off my lawn, kids.
Totally.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy either.
Yeah, yeah. So it's always trying to at least be as, you know, in touch with what's going on as possible. You know, it's like I don't ever want to be like that. Oh, those kids these days are just so weird.
Or this music is terrible.
Yeah.
When I was going, everything was great.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, it wasn't.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
But it's funny because I think the thing is too is that between your ages of like 13 to like 22, there isn't a lot that you have the space in your mind and your heart to connect with music on this level. In other ways, you're late for work or you're fucking, really? This guy's saying this. You know what I mean? Things are new and you're having those emotions and nothing's trite.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a great time.
Nothing's been said a million times. You're like, oh man, my heart is broken. Yeah. This guy knows what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This guy's saying exactly what's in my heart, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. And then you get older and you don't connect. And that's why everybody, across the board, like your parents, their favorite music is from when they were 13 to 22.
Totally.
No one's like, hey, my favorite music is from when I was 40.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's just there's this special place in your heart that opens up in order to accept that music that you're in at the moment. And I feel like the kids these days that are in that age group are still getting just as emotionally connected to the stuff that's coming
out.
Well,
first of all, you're not old.
No.
So let's just quickly rephrase that.
No, none of us are old.
But in the last, in the last 10 years, there's been a significant change in music. And, I mean, it's significant. It's like a lot of music sounds like that. And one of the things I was going to compliment you on, both of you guys, is that I did actively think, like, wow... these guys made a record that sounds modern and sounds now. There's no thing that doesn't sound like now, but it doesn't sound as like now as that does, where 10 years from now when you hear that, you're going to be like, oh, 2016, 2017.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
There is longevity to this record.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
you can
hear stuff and be like, oh, 1998.
Oh, totally.
It's I still
even like a snare drum. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Kate Bush albums, and I go... If this was released now, it would have, you know, I wouldn't think this is old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I hear it and I can think like 1986.
Oh, really?
And I hear like running up that hill and shit like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, well, that's my opinion.
There was one song and I'm drawing a blank on it, but there's like an Adele level mid-tempo song on there with the 26? Adele level with the emotion.
It could be 26.
Is it the piano tune, maybe? Yeah. 26,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, so Tabor Miller, I mean, yeah, first of all, what an incredible musician. I've never worked with someone like him, where everything that he plays just comes so from the heart. Like, you know, that's not even a good description of what the kind of musician he is, but because he's more than that. But him and I were in studio, and he was fooling around on the keys, and like, yeah, first few minutes in, I was just like, I need to lay something down with that, you know. And that track was born in studio. That was one of the songs that were written.
That was great.
There.
Is that him playing piano or you?
He ended up playing on the record, the final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like his
style.
He's
like that guy from The Clash.
Yeah.
I like his loose, like, I just, yeah, I did.
It's interesting, when a drummer plays an instrument, they're whether it be keys or piano or excuse me, that's the same instrument, guitar. It's just, it rhythmically has a cool vibe to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Rock the Casbah.
Yeah.
Like, the piano in that song is fucking awesome, and that's that drummer guy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when Tommy Lee plays piano, the Motley Crue.
Exactly, Sweet Home. Yeah. There's no feeling like that.
Totally.
Okay, so wait a minute. I got off track, but who are the people in the band?
That's playing now?
Pat Smear on bass,
yeah.
But from Flyleaf.
Yeah. I'm going to be playing with her.
Okay. Zach Loy, guitar.
Yeah. Tabor Miller is going to be just playing drums.
Yeah.
And then Justin Wiseman, who is a synthesizer piano player from the Rocket
from
Boys.
From Rocket Boys. I love Justin. He's been on the show.
Oh, cool.
How's he doing?
He's doing fantastic. Yeah. Incredible. He recorded a record.
I love that guy.
Oh, yeah.
He has a project called Friends with Benefits that's really super killer.
What kind of style is it?
Really?
It's synth based, and he sings and everything and songwriting. It's awesome. You should definitely check it out.
Nice, yeah, dude. I will check it out. Will you tell him to get a hold of me, because he should come on the show again?
He definitely should.
I like that guy.
I will. And then Jeff Bryant, who played on the record, a lot of the keys on the record, is going to be playing the shows that Justin can't make. So
okay.
Yeah. So we're swapping keyboard players, but everybody else is going to be the
same.
And
it's the first time that I'm actually seeing the band again, ever since we made
the
record.
Have you guys rehearsed yet?
No.
What are you guys rehearsing tomorrow?
Friday morning.
Oh, Friday morning.
Yeah. I mean, these guys.
Kill it.
These guys.
Yeah, they're so great.
Yeah.
Too good. We don't really need to rehearse.
No.
No, but it's nice.
Real. No,
it's nice.
I think, yeah,
to go
no,
on stage
that was
with
a joke.
The confidence
I think
of
I
having
need
gone
to,
through it
yeah.
once.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've tried that shit. But I did this thing at one point where I was like, no, man, because it's like Dylan, and like every show is going to be totally different. Every time you play the song, it's a different song. And then sometimes it's like so different. You're like, hey, man, this is not good anymore for
me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I experimented with it. I like rehearsing now.
Oh, nice.
So, hey, so you just did a solo tour in South Africa.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
It was my first official tour as Taylor, because all my other tours were, I was supporting act. So I never really got a good indication of where I was at in terms of like a brand and what I... Sorry, I'm doing a live video. Is it distracting
you? Should point
you?
At yourself. No. You were just pointing at nothing, and I was like, "Oh, she's wasting."
Wait, let's do this. Let's do this.
She's wasting
all
face.
All right. So it was my first official tour in December, and I did like the Cape Town, Joburg, Prince Albert, Port Elizabeth, East London, and then went down to Cape Town. And I was telling Zach on the way here that like 80% of the shows were sold out, you know, and I think that was such a good indication for me of where I was at in terms of what we still needed to achieve on, you know, and I think we're not getting any radio play in South Africa, which really sucks. But it was still a great feeling doing such great shows, even though we weren't getting radio play.
Right. That sucks.
That does suck, but let's not go into that part.
It's what's the radio scene there?
Is
it government controlled?
Well, yeah.
It is?
No, it's not. Oh. It's not. There's one official person that basically decides you know, who gets to go on. But a lot of the radio stations, look, there are radio stations that support. Like, there's a station called Mix FM. They're great. They're massive supporter. Two or three radio stations are playlisting, but there are more that don't. And they would blame it on things like it's just not our markets, or we're going more urban, or more hip hop, or whatever, you know. So,
well, yeah. Let me ask you this. That's my throat clearing sound. Let me ask you this. What alternative, like, it's the same kind of thing. You got Spotify there, Pandora. You're trying to get on, like, a Spotify playlist. Because I noticed that that's a big thing that people are trying to do now. If you can get on someone's playlist, like a Tastemakers playlist,
yeah,
then things can change for you, and you can get all kinds of numbers.
You know what it is, though? And what's kind of sad is I'm getting more traction now from, like, Portland, Oregon, and, you know, like, more traction from
probably 'cause of Zach.
Other countries than
oh,
I
really?
Am
in South
getting
Africa?
From South Africa. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's a sign. Maybe you need to get out and start.
No, and that's and yeah. that's the plan. I mean, in July, we got a couple of, like, UK dates. And
oh, really?
So this year is going to be pretty interesting in terms of that because, you know, it's going to be more focused on other countries. So we'll see.
When you do solo shows, what is it? Do you do tracks and you, or do you just
sometimes
play
I
guitar
do,
and piano?
But most of the time, like these days, it's me, kick drum, acoustic, and electric, and then Johnny Late, he's on lead guitar.
Okay.
And then I have like various stations, but like the last solo show I did was over New Year's, where I was playing this really pretty theater in Prince Albert, and Prince Albert is about 4 hours out of Cape Town. Mm-hmm. And there I had various stations set up on stage. So I had the grand piano behind me. I had a little station for my tracks. Yeah. But when I'm solo, I try to steer away from tracks, and I try to just
right.
keep it as like
organic
as possible. Yeah.
Well, you're still very organic. I mean, you guys did a great job with this record, Trust Part 1. You can find it on iTunes.
Yeah.
You can find it on Spotify. That's where I was listening today. Sorry, but I do pay for it, Spotify.
Beautiful.
And
if you come to the shows, you'll be able to get
a physical
of the
copy of the album. Yeah. And I don't know if I'm supposed to put my one that I'm doing on Thursday out on Friday. Should I put this out on Friday?
I mean, that would be great.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, well, then let's announce these shows.
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay, well, then tonight you are playing at The Rooftop at 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow you're playing Parlor and Yard Saturday, March 18th. Okay, sorry, Friday, March 17th, Rooftop, 9 p.m. And that is South by Southwest official or no?
It's Red Gorilla.
Can I go?
Yes.
Without a thing?
Yes.
Without credentials?
Anybody
any
can
kind.
Go to any of these shows. Yes.
Okay. Parlor and Yard. On Saturday, March 18th at 3 p.m. And then 7th and Neches, is that the Texas Rock Fest?
Yeah, man.
Okay, Texas Rock Fest, 7th and Neches, Saturday, March 18th at 5:30 p.m. And those are with the full band. With, some might have Justin, some might have this other guy.
Yeah.
That people
and it depends know. If Zach behaves, if he can actually come with me on stage or not.
Yeah.
Zach.
I know,
Zach, what,
gotta keep it together.
I enjoy your people should follow Zach on Instagram. You display you're always showing gear. I was gonna say showing off gear, but it's not showing off.
Yeah,
you're
just,
showing, and it's and to a person who loves gear,
right?
You have Parlor guitars.
Paler
guitars.
Yeah, yeah, and Rock and Roll Rally guitars and other things. I mean, just. Stuff like
rocking
different
the pedals sometimes,
yeah,
nice
guitar
pedals,
amps, yeah, whatever, whatever it is that my friends are making or I get my hands on.
Yeah,
I like to share the love with the other.
You do. It's nice to
players.
See
because I'm one of those guys too.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm always like looking around, being like, oh, what's this guy playing? Oh, like oh, that sounds cool. Like it'd be great to know what this pedal sounds like or what this thing's. You
sure.
Know? So, So yeah, they're great little. It's fun because on Instagram, you know, your videos are only a minute long, so you don't have to sit
that
through
so
this.
That is so frustrating.
Well, in a, like so, in
someone who likes to talk about herself, you know, it's very.
I see it as a benefit just because I don't have to sit through these like 15-minute long videos of these guys playing guitar.
Right.
It's a minute long. It's like okay, great. That's what that sounds like. Move on.
You get
on.
The idea.
Yeah.
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 Well, those are great. Are you're playing in live?
Yeah.
As well? Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
What? So you played with Ed and then.
Toured with Ed Kowalczyk for the last like almost 4 years now. And then they got back together in the summer of last year.
Right. And my friend Chris Shin, he got the
B-O-O-T.
Right.
Yes, he did. which everybody Sad. Has nothing but good things to say about Chris.
There's nothing but nice things to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, he's such like a you. Great dude and great, yeah. great voice. But it was time for the band to get back together, and Ed called me in about October and was like, "Hey, the band got back together. Would you be interested in joining?"
Dude, amazing! Band? Congratulations!
Yeah, thank you very much. And I was like, "Nah, I'm good, man. No, I'm joking." Yeah, so, I was super stoked to get that call, of course, and be a part.
How
of
How much are you guys playing?
The festivals all start in May, and we're doing pretty much every festival in the U.S. and other parts
really?
Of the world all the way until like the fall. Yeah,
fuck yeah, dude!
I'm glad you joined that band, and I mean, I am a fan of the band as is, but like for me, being of the younger generation, I feel like Zach is going to be a breath of fresh air for that band. But okay. That's my opinion. Yeah, I thought I'd want to say that.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I bet you would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the fans, you know, are there. It was kind of just made sense. They wanted to add another musician on stage and stuff, and obviously all the crossover fans from Ed, they already right. kind of know me. So it's
how could it seems weird to me that there would be like some kind of fans that were fans of just them but not Ed. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Come on. How could that there be
was,
a thing?
It
yeah,
that's weird.
It yeah. is, but I think there was
and nothing
was
against nice. Christian, amazing singer.
No, no, for yeah. sure. But there was I think there was a couple fans that kind of got in the they felt like they were emotionally involved in the fight, you know, that was between the two
yeah,
and
yeah.
you know, you got to pick a side,
yeah.
you know. So, yeah.
You know, there was a point I was with A&R in New York, and Sebastian Bach, the lead singer of Skid Row, was doing it's a Phantom of the Opera or something on Broadway, and they have this commercial this thing that just shows you commercials of shit that's happening on Broadway, and we would just leave it on when we were in our hotel, and so we were just freaking out because like, man, Sebastian Bach is on Broadway, that's the most hilarious thing ever. So flash forward 1 month, we're at a party in Los Angeles, and Snake Sabo, the guitar player from Skid Row, is there at this party, and so we're talking to this guy, and his name's Snake, and that already is kind of hilarious to me. But A&R is stoked because he's like super into the fact that he's talking to Snake Sabo.
So rad. Yeah.
So he's like, man, so what are you doing, man? And he's like, well, we're about to go on tour, doing a Skid Row tour and all this stuff. And then, of course, me being the like smart ass, I'm like, really? I saw your singer guy's like on Broadway. He's not doing it right. And he's like, no, we got a different guy. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. And he goes, I wrote 18 in life, dude. And then he turned back around like that was their hit.
Oh, man. Gosh.
And I know he said, I wrote 18 in life, dude. Yeah. So shut up.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Anyway, that was a weird story. I don't know. That was a weird name-dropping story. But
no,
it was
no.
funny, right?
Yeah.
Listeners, I hope you enjoyed that story.
It totally makes sense. Yeah, I think there was a lot of that is now... Bridge, or what do you call it? Water under the
Water
bridge.
Water under the bridge.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay, so Trust Part 1 is the name of this album. Have you guys started working on songs for Trust Part 2?
I have.
Electric Boogaloo.
I don't know about Zach. Yeah. I have.
Have you heard them? Are you guys going to debut? Are there any South by Southwest debut?
Yeah, man.
Jams?
I'm doing a
new
one.
You
I
are?
Am. I'm doing a new one. It's called Gabriel. I'm really excited to do this song. And usually I would pull back on any new stuff, especially now, you know, the record is still very fresh. So
right.
I want to showcase the record as much as I can. But this latest track is so fun to play live. So I couldn't resist.
Good.
So there's a good chance that we might pull it out of the set list, just in terms of the time that we have to be on stage.
Right.
But if you come on Friday to the rooftop, we'll play it.
Okay. One more time, these South by Southwest shows. If you're in Austin for South by Southwest, you can see Taylor and her band today, Friday, March 17th at the Rooftop, 9 p.m. Parlor and Yard tomorrow, Saturday, March 18th at 3 p.m. Texas Rock Fest, 7th and Neches tomorrow night at 5:30 p.m. Saturday, March 18th. Is there anything else that I'm forgetting? I love talking to you guys. Can I ask you a question? Did the people online thing credit me when they lifted my show?
What do you mean, the People magazine one?
Yeah.
No. She claimed all of that by herself. She was like, I got the stuff. I said lawsuit. Because I had no, but I had a.
Well, you gotta give credit where credit's due. This is my intellectual property.
This is the thing, exactly. Right.
This is my IP.
And I mean, I had a face to face interview with her, so she said, "I'll send you a what do you call it?"
Just and she used
to
my
approve
stuff.
To approve the interview. And she mentioned all these things, and I was like, but we never spoke about this in our interview.
I'm still so flattered.
And then I was like, please pull this out. And she was like, no, you mentioned it in Austin, so I'm going to put it in.
It's happened a couple of times, not with people. That's why I'm like, fuck, that is awesome. I need to track that down and use that in my press. But it's happened here, like, a couple of times.
You're good at making people feel very comfortable, and that was clearly what you did with me the last time. So I was talking.
Thank you.
Like it was the Oprah show.
I don't know why I'm so proud of myself right now, but I'm really happy.
No, but you're
I'm kind of stoked about that.
Should be. Yeah.
I should be.
It was a good interview.
Hey, when is Live going to play any festivals that are around here?
Yeah. But nothing's been a release yet, so okay. Yeah. I'm not at liberty
now
to say.
Now you're getting in trouble. I want to go see you play on a big stage with it. That would be really fun.
Yeah, man. Definitely.
Yeah.
When we come by this way, you know, we'll hook up.
I'm going to try and make it to the rooftop.
Yeah, man.
Okay. There's a chance I might be playing in Houston on Saturday, March 18th.
Yeah.
Which would change my whole vibe for Friday night.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Hey, dude, it's been really great having you on here. This is Taylor.com is where you go for all your Taylor stuff. Do you have a website that is basically just Zach?
Yeah, ZachLoy.com.
No way, ZachLoy.com?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, everyone get out there and check out Zach. I'm going to go there.
I'm going to do this
You can follow Zach and Taylor on Instagram. You're on Twitter, Facebook, all the places.
I'm trying to think what else I can mention.
Yeah, what else? You got the time.
We new dates beer. Will be released soon. So if you're
what
in
will?
The UK, new dates, new
okay,
new touring dates. So if you're in the UK, Canada, Paris, maybe even Berlin area, then I'll keep you up to date with some new tour dates real soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Taylor, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
It's always good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you. And Zach, I just love you.
Hey, man.
I do.
Love you too, bro.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome. I think these pants are too tight. And
I really like your shoes, man. I kept staring at your shoes.
No, your pants are never too tight.
No. Yeah.
You think I could stuff them with like a sock or something?
Fabulous. Taylor and her producer and musical partner in crime, Zach Loy. What a great conversation that was. You can find her at thisistaylor.com. And if you are in Austin at South by Southwest 2017, you can see her tonight, March 17th at the Rooftop at 9 p.m. You can see her tomorrow, Saturday, March 18th at Parlor and Yard at 3 p.m. And you can see her also tomorrow, Saturday, March 18th at 5:30 p.m. at the Texas Rock Fest at 7th and Neches. I want to thank Taylor and Zach for coming by. It was great getting to hang out with them. I had a great time going on a boat ride with Taylor and seeing bands. And then we went to another place and we got in to see bands. And then I didn't see her anymore. Okay, hopefully I will be there tonight at the show. Don't forget, if you are in Houston tomorrow night, Saturday, March 18th, I will be playing at the Heights Theater opening for the Bodines and also doing some songs with them. So that should be fun. If you live there, get out there and find out all about it. You can find it on my Facebook page. Or you can find it at the Heights Theater website. Heights Theater in Houston, Texas. Look it up. All right, go to thisistaylor.com for all your Taylor needs. Pick up Trust Part 1. Such a great album. This is the song Trust that we were talking about before. I love Taylor. This was her second time on the show. I wish she'd move here. Get out of that South Africa. Come on up to Austin and let's party down. All right? Thanks to Zach and Taylor. Have a great South by Southwest if you're here. If you're not here, have fun whatever you're doing and have a great weekend. All right? Thanks for listening to the show. This is Taylor. Let's get down. Trusting my own
just home. One thing's for sure, that I'm not alone. 'Cause if you want what I want, then baby, come right here. And if you need what I need, then baby, don't have fear. 'Cause I'll be right here. Just have no fear, and know that it's true. Open the door, I'll let you in. One thing's for sure, that I'm trusting. And have no fear.